You're listening to the Heart and Hustle podcast. We are your hosts, Evie McLeod and Lindsay Roman. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the show. We love you forever. Today is a treat of an episode for us. We have our girl, Kristen Hubbard, on the show.
Yes. So for anyone who doesn't know her, Kristen Hubbard is the founder and CEO of the admired all-female DJ company, RDJ Rocks, and entertainment brands, R Photo Booth Rocks, as well as Onyx, powered by RDJ Rocks. She is based in Orlando, Florida, and they are a seven-figure entertainment collection of brands that rock 600 to 800 events a year collectively with their roster of talented DJs and a team of over 20 dedicated event and hospitality specialists. So basically, absolute queen.
She's a rock star. She also hosts the Love Lead Excel podcast and recently released her debut country album, Heartbound. She is incredible. Mm-hmm. And personally, we know her because she is the DJ for both of our past Heart conferences. And when we say she lit up the stage at our first one, that we immediately had to hire her for the next one, we are not kidding.
Yes.
She is incredible. And today's conversation is just such a heart-filled episode. We talk about how she built her DJ business, how she became a serial entrepreneur, what she had to deal with the being an event industry professional during COVID, mm-hmm. how she markets being a DJ and markets her team. Like, we cover so many aspects of, like, this is a great episode for a service-based business, but you're going to get out of it and be inspired no matter who you are.
Yeah. We talk about marketing and building a brand and just things that are so applicable, whether you're a DJ or not, whether you're in the event industry or not. So it's a really inspiring and encouraging episode. So make sure you stay tuned, grab your cup of coffee, your tea, whatever you're sipping on today, and let's get started with Kristen.
Folio Albums is a UK-based album supplier specializing exclusively in fine art printing with sustainability at the core of everything they do. The products are of the highest quality, handcrafted by a highly skilled team in their own Yorkshire workshop. They provide a free album design service and a range of helpful photographers' resources to support your business. Their exceptional client experience team are on hand for any questions or advice. You can even book a free virtual showroom session to check out the products and meet their team. Head over to www.folioalbums.com and use code HEARTHUSTLE40 to receive a 40% discount off a studio sample album.
Hey, hey, I'm Lindsay Roman.
And I'm Evie McLeod, and we are family and legacy-focused serial entrepreneurs and the founders of The Heart University, a business education company with a mission to help you thrive in your business and life.
Welcome to our Entrepreneur Cocktail Hour, where business and marketing strategies meet faith, real talk, and raw and life-changing conversations.
At the end of the day, we are all in this together, figuring out how to navigate the ups and downs, the messy and the beautiful, and everything in between. This is a community where you can come as you are, get inspired, and walk away equipped to build a legacy-filled life.
You're listening to the Heart and Hustle podcast. Kristen, welcome to the Heart and Hustle podcast. Oh my gosh, we are so, so, so excited to have you on the show.
Lindsay, Evie, thank you for having me. I am like super pumped because for 2 years I have followed your community and I'm obsessed with the vibe and the people and the energy and everything about it. So thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh. Well, we are equally obsessed with you, your vibe and your energy. For anyone who doesn't know, Kristen has been our DJ for both of our conferences. We had her for our first one and we said we will never use another DJ. We will fly Kristen wherever and whenever.
I mean, we have to back up and just tell this story first of all. You are based in Orlando, Florida, correct?
Yes, for now.
So, oh, okay, that's tea. We'll get to that later. Wait, except that's sad because now we live in Florida. Anyways, okay, I'm getting off topic. Our event coordinator for our first Nashville conference is also from Orlando. So we were having her kind of source all of the vendors because our first conference was in Nashville. So mm-hmm. people listening could be like, why did you fly a DJ out from Orlando to come to Nashville? And before I met you and experienced the magic that is Kristen, I would maybe say the same thing. But I was like, whatever, I'm going to trust our event
coordinator. Our coordinator.
And then we waltz in to the dance party in Nashville for our first conference. And if there was a lot of people there. So listeners, you might have been the lucky few, well, the lucky hundred. So that got to experience Kristen's magic. But when I tell you that it was electric, like you are so freaking talented and you're talented at a bajillion things. And we'll get into all of them. But it was it was a party. And so when we were planning our next one in Dallas, we were like 1,000,000%. I think the first meeting that we had to even start planning like location, we were like, I don't care what happens, but we are bringing Kristen back. We literally said that.
Yeah. You went above and beyond, and the energy that you brought is so good. It matches, I feel like, us and our community so well. So you are dang good at what you do. So we are excited for this conversation. And I know we just like hyped you up as like the DJ, but Lindsay kind of hinted you do so many other things and you are so talented and just so amazing. So for anyone who's like, okay, I know DJ, like Kristen as, you know, my DJ rocks, or like I know Kristen as a DJ.
Yeah.
Are you willing to share maybe a little bit of your story, a little bit of what else you do, what led you to be a DJ, like kind of all the things, Kristen?
Yeah. Okay. So first of all, thank you for all the kudos and bullet points. I'm over here like, I feel so small. I'm not that great. So thank you. It's great to be recognized. The funny thing is that when you're asking me, okay, tell me a little bit more, I sometimes find myself like if I'm sitting in an airport or going into an elevator, I'm like, oh, please don't ask me what I do. Please don't ask me what I do. Please don't ask me what I do. I almost sometimes in my head, I want to be like, well, and then I want to make up the most simplified version of what I do so that no one asks me the next question.
Yep.
Because if I'm sitting on a plane and if I tell someone what I actually do, it will take the whole plane ride to explain.
Yep.
Right?
So, okay, wait, I want to know. Okay, wait, we have a plane ride. We have time.
We have a little bit of a plane ride, right? So honestly, it started by just being a chick DJ. Like I was in college and I came across this world of, rewind. I remember standing in my first wedding reception room. It was 1980, whatever. No, I'm just kidding. But there was uplights everywhere. There was like 3 foot tall centerpieces. And I'm just a little girl from a very small town. And like, I don't come from money at all. So like these parties that I DJ, I never went to. Like, I didn't get invited to them. I wasn't, you know, my mom and dad's plus one. Like, it wasn't a thing. So walking into this room, and then I hear this voice of God, which I now know as an MC, you know, say, and now I pronounce, you know, Mr. and Mrs. And then they walk into the room and there's 300 people with their hands all in the air screaming. And then, like, they dance the rest of the night. I'm like... See, I thought that like weddings were like going to the church, having like, what is it called? An assembly line afterwards. And then maybe going to like, hopefully your aunt's house or your granny's house with like cheese and crackers on the patio. So here I am. And I'm like, do you get paid for this? Or this is just volunteer work? Like,
that's amazing.
And so the guy that owned the company, I literally looked at him. I'm like, can chicks do this? Because once I started to like realize, oh, okay, that's a DJ. Okay, but like DJs only do parties. This really isn't a party. This is like, you know, lifestyles of the rich and famous, right? So I basically asked the question, can chicks DJ? And from there, honestly, ladies, I don't know if I never would have asked that question. I don't know if I'd be where I'm at. And like, just kind of like in a nutshell for everyone listening, I'm not just a DJ. I own 3 brands, RDJ Rocks, Photo Booth Rocks, and Onyx. Collectively, we do 600 to 800 events a year between our roster of talent. And I'm a wedding pro educator, and I also have the Love Lead XL podcast professionally.
Woo! Okay, wait. And also, what do you have on Spotify?
Well, thank you for asking. So the last couple years have been really a journey of growing inward. And so I took a lot of time to do some writing and journaling, and there was the right people who came into my life, and the journaling and the writing turned into songs, which turned into, wait, let's actually like make these and put music to them. And I took about a year to create and produce an EP, and that came out this past June. So I have a country music EP on Spotify.
Yes, girl. I love this so much. Oh, man. Our listeners are just getting like a little like glimpse and like unraveling. I'm envisioning like an onion. at like yes. Outback Steakhouse that's a fried onion or blooming onion. That's it. Where you're like peeling back the layers and you're like, wow, yes. Wait, we thought Kristen was a female DJ, which in and of itself is so incredible. And it's just showing that women can do all incredible things. Although now that I'm thinking about this, like obviously me and Evie have been to many a wedding being wedding photographers. Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever photographed a wedding where the DJ was female.
I don't think
which
so
is
either.
Insane. Wow. Like why? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'll
and
tell
most
you,
of them like, are bad.
Most of them are bad. Did you just say that? Well,
it is what it is.
Well, anyways.
Okay. In their defense, everyone starts somewhere, right? So
mm-hmm. Fair point.
Let me give you an example. So one of the things that I challenged myself with was, okay, I need to find something that still ties to what I love, which is music and DJing and all the things. But like, I've got to clock out, right? I can't work 24/7. So I started guitar lessons. Guys, I suck. Like, I'm not good at it. Like, she goes, okay, now that you've learned these three chords, like, switch between them and by next week have a song. She showed up. I'm like, just so you know, I can't play you a song. Like, I can strum one chord and then I can keep singing and then I got to find the next chord. So it's a talent, right? Mm-hmm. And so it takes time to learn. And I'll definitely say, we've gone through like three major cycles at RDJ Rocks of hiring, and the pool of people that come in who apply, who say, I'm an established DJ, they get put in another category mm-hmm. of this is how we interview you. And they actually have to come in with equipment and like do an audition. And then I'm looking and I'm like, actually, I don't even look. I sit in a whole nother room and I have two of my team members sit in the room and watch them. I listen from the other room because I want to hear what they're playing because then mm-hmm. I can feel the energy. And I'm like, wow, no, actually, we're not established at all. We've got to actually start from scratch. And so, mm-hmm. you know, I think that YouTube and online learning and things like that are really, really great, but it only touches the surface yeah. of learning. So I that's kind of maybe like a challenge, I guess. You know, everyone thinks they're a DJ, but like you're really not.
Mm-hmm. Kristen just dropping the truth today.
I have so many questions that I want to ask you on how like you built your companies and all of that. But first, just because we're on DJing, what do you look for? Like when you're in another room and your eyes are closed, how can you tell a good DJ from a bad DJ? Like me being an ignorant person as far as
not
this topic.
Claiming to be DJs at all.
At all. And so like, I have no idea. I just know like when the party's popping, I feel it.
Okay, so I can answer that question two different ways. One, I would answer it differently if I'm standing in front of the DJ and looking at them. So mm-hmm. let me answer the question first if I'm in the other room. And if I'm in the other room, the first thing I listen to is, does the music feel good? So number one, like there is audio quality that I feel like subconsciously you two wouldn't even realize is going on. Right? Yeah. You're just going to be like, that sounds good or that doesn't sound good. And so from the computer to the mixer to the speakers, if a song is like quote unquote popping and not in a good way, that means it's peeking into the red and it feels like muffled in my ear. And I don't mm-hmm. even want to come near the dance floor or near the speakers. You know what I mean?
So, I peek into the red very often on this podcast because I'm loud.
Okay, so you get it, right? And then you're like, wait, I got to turn the gain down, you know, mm-hmm. volume, gain, trim, mm-hmm. all different things.
I know these words. Okay, yes, yes.
Yes.
This
yes.
is great. Okay, so then what would you say if you're standing in front of the person?
I'm standing in front of the person, it's a whole nother ball game. Like, I want to see how you dress. I want to see your showmanship. I want to see the energy that, like, you portray. And that's not, like, every DJ, just like every human has a different personality. I still think it's important, like, you are behind the mixer. Like, at the end of the day, I told my good friend last week, I'm like, you know what's really crazy as I'm training once again? I really have to figure out how to put in words that I don't even need to play a song. I can change the vibe and the energy just by my being. And I think that all of that, with nothing else and no characteristics, is what makes a good DJ.
100%. I can say that as a wedding photographer. I know Lindsay can too, because we see so much of it on the dance floor. And I can tell you,
the DJs, the dance floors that are popping, the parties that are fun, and the just the party that is going.
What is that? There is one. We shot in this Hawaii. Wedding together in Hawaii. To this day, as far as weddings goes, the best DJ I've ever like worked with.
Yeah.
What was his name? Talifero?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Talifero or something. Talifero? I don't know if he's DJing anymore.
Maybe
but
not.
But he was... He had to work to get that party going, and he got it going.
He played Thriller, and he put on a red Michael Jackson like shirt, and he did,
and a glove, because he had to work to get this party going.
And he went table to table, and he literally got in the middle of the dance floor, and then literally it was like the Thriller music video playing out in front of my eyes. I was like, wow,
like this man was willing to put in the work to get it going, and that party was popping by the end of the night.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, I feel like everybody has a different way of doing things. And mm-hmm. if you've got good energy, that infuses into how you're mixing the songs that you're playing, things that you do to get a party going without being obnoxious. It infuses into how you are on a microphone. Like, it's crazy how your tone can change just by smiling.
Yeah.
When you're on a microphone.
That's true.
Okay. So you wanted to be... You were like, can females DJ? How did we go from that moment to now you own a company?
Absolute badass business woman.
Yeah. Like you own a company with multiple DJs. Like I don't know. I want to know your story, but it feels like very potentially similar to like you get into a hobby and you love it and then you become a business person or you realize, I have to be a business person. So I want to know kind of that journey.
Also, at some point, share how many DJs or people work with you, because I feel like I don't know that exact number.
Well, first of all, I just want to let you know that just like Instagram and Facebook, it's all magic. So one day I woke up and I was extremely successful and did no work at all. So let's start there.
Brilliant.
Sorry. I had to do it because I feel like that's literally what the perception is, and it's not.
Yep.
It's like that whole thing, like one day you'll wake up and it'll look like this all just appeared out of nowhere.
Right.
Wow, where do we start? So I think it first started by saying I had an event that I was like, oh, I don't know if I can like load all this stuff by myself at all. Like this is just, I'm only one person, I can't. And so a good friend of mine, she worked in entertainment at a hotel and, you know, she was good on a mic and she had great vibes. And so I said, hey, are you available on Saturday? I just need help. I'll pay you X amount of dollars to come help me. And mm-hmm. so again, me just asking a question kind of like opened the door. And so then once she got exposed to my world, just like I got exposed all those years ago, she was like, wait, this is fun. Wait, mm-hmm. you can get paid for this? And so that's how it started. And then from there, it really was, you know, I told her, I'm like, dude, I don't know how to train. I'm not a teacher. I don't know anything about lesson plans. I was like, here's what I can do. If you want to learn how to do this, just come with me to every single event and watch everything that I do. And so that was kind of step two. And then from there, her and I were like, huh. Okay, well, if we got exposed to this and we liked it, and then by you watching me, you could literally do it. What if we just started documenting everything that we actually did? And then maybe let's try to like train one person. And so we did. And so every wedding that I went to, I started documenting things that I'm like, okay, what would I have to tell someone if they weren't standing in front of me? And so I just started literally documenting my entire life. And that is kind of where I feel like the snowball really started to roll. And then I feel like from about, I always say it in terms of like revenue, but from about $150,000 to $600,000 in revenue, I don't remember a thing.
It was
so
wild.
Relatable. That's so relatable.
That's the best thing I've ever heard. Pull quote right there.
I love that so much.
I mean, there was a lot, like there was a, I don't remember seeing, you know how when you have like a really slam day and you're like, how mm-hmm. in the heck did it get 7 p.m. already?
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. Like I did and I did and I did and I built and I created systems and like mm-hmm. my brain has just a unique way of working and switching between left and right. And so I think that building those systems and spreadsheets and, you know, systemizing. It's literally what I did. From there, I was systemizing and scaling without knowing that, like, I'm scaling my business.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like that's so, you said two things in there, Kristen, that like,
just immediately, I'm like, stop, pause, let's talk about that for just a second. You have stated that you asked two questions that were huge in your career. The first was like, can a chick DJ? And the second was, you know, what would it look like? What was your second question? What would it look like to have someone help?
I think so. Something along the lines of like, how can I get someone to help me? It was something like that. We can rewind and listen back.
Yeah. And like scrub back, insert and scrub forward. I feel like that in and of itself, that curiosity, like I know you kind of like, you kind of touched on it, but that is huge. That willingness to be like, what could this look like? Or a willingness to also bring people in, to learn, to be like, okay, let me try to start documenting. The fact that you started documenting your core processes from such like a point in your business, like you brought your first person on, you're like, let's start documenting this now.
Brilliant.
Far ahead of most of us entrepreneurs. We're like, get ourselves in like a big pickle and we're like, oh, what's a process? So I like kudos. I feel like both of those things are really huge. Number one, asking questions, staying curious, being willing to like not just get stuck in a rut. And then because that leads to so much growth. And then number two, documenting your processes as an entrepreneur. That is game changer from as early as you can. Absolute game changer when you start building and scaling, because you're like, I grew from X to X so fast because you were like documenting those processes and could easily train people into repeatable systems. So I don't know if you have more to add to that, but those two things, I was like, boom, we need to highlight those because those are so good for every entrepreneur.
Yeah, I feel like the only thing I would add to that, and I kind of go back and forth a little bit where it's I don't want to know everything, but I kind of do want to know everything before I take the plunge. But what I will say is every time that I didn't know everything ahead of time, I took a bigger risk and it gave a bigger reward. And so sometimes I have to, now that I know a lot of things and I ran a business with a lot of events on the calendar during COVID. So like there's still a lot of PTSD from that. And like, you know, there's a lot of things that kind of tear from me where I'm like, ooh, like if I knew right now what I knew then, I would not have done this. And that's really sad for me to admit, because I'm like, okay, well then how would I tell someone 10 years younger than me, you know, what should they do? I almost want to say it's okay to just be fearless, especially when you don't have as much to lose. Obviously, if you've got, you know, a mortgage and a family and things like that, make sure you have reserves, you know, make sure that's good to go. But like, it's okay to be a little fearless.
I love that.
I love that. I have a question. So when did you start your DJ business first before anything else?
Yes.
So what, I guess, how did you go from, okay, I'm DJing. Okay, now I'm DJing with a team to, oh, now I want to do you said photo booth, you have podcast, you said something else in there. I want to, like, how did you, like, because that's a serial entrepreneur. So where did you go from, how did you go from, like, I'm DJing to now, ooh.
All the things.
Yeah.
That's actually funny that you say that, because I do feel like once I get something like systemized and it's rolling, I don't feel like I get antsy, but I stay curious. And so honestly, the second brand, Photo Booth Rocks, came from my clients being like, hey, do you have a photo booth? And I'm like, huh, that's a good question. What's that? And so there was a point in time where I was like, well, let me look out into the market and create a few partners that I could just use their photo booth for my clients. Well, at that time there was only a handful, and the owner of the company was like, oh yeah, you're good to go for like, you know, October, whatever, a whole year down the road. I'm like, no, but I need a contract. No, we're good to go. Just verbal. I'm like, that's not going to work for me, because like, I have to commit this to a bride. And so if I'm committing it to her, you're committing it to me, and we're doing this legally. Cause if not, like, I'm going to call like Judge Judy and be like, bro, you didn't give me my photo booth. Like,
I'm going to call Judge Judy.
I'm being silly, but it didn't make sense to me. And so I researched like photo booths for weddings, and there was really only like one company at the time in the US that was doing it, and they were going to be at a trade show. And so I was like, ooh, you know what? Let me just like go to the trade show, because if they're going to be there, they're all going to be there. And I walked the trade show floor, and I went to every single, you know, photo booth little booth, and there was only one company that it didn't look like a vending machine. And I was like, yeah, because we don't want vending machines at a wedding, right? Yeah. And they told me how much it was, which I've had to been, I think, maybe $11,000 or $12,000. And I thought to myself, well, that's how much I have in savings. And I was going to save that for a house. But if I stay in my apartment one more year, and if I can sell this thing at least 10 times, I might be able to pay it off. And then maybe in another 6 months to a year down the road. So that's really kind of how that started.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, Heart fam, interrupting today's episode to share with you a powerful tool to monetize your content in your business, Memberful. Now, this amazing platform allows you to create a new source of income by turning your content into a membership business. Forget about chasing the hottest keywords and trends to capture SEO rankings or pleasing the social media algorithm. Focus instead on creating content that you are passionate about and that your audience wants to see. Memberful has everything you need to get your membership program up and running quickly with content gating, in-house newsletters, private podcasts, and so much more. They have so many incredible tools and resources and implementations to your workflow. It's amazing. You will have full control and ownership of your audience, your brand, your membership, and you will have access to a world-class support team who are ready to help you simplify your memberships and grow your revenue. One of the things we love about this brand is that they are passionate about your success, and you'll always have access to a real human. Get started for free at memberful.com/heart. That's memberful.com/HEART.
If you're enjoying what you're getting in this podcast for free, then you're about to get your mind blown with what we offer in our educational courses. If you're ready to uplevel your business, serve your clients like never before, and reach revenue goals that you've barely dared to dream of, then we're ready to help.
Our courses are packed full of tools, formulas, strategies, and resources to help you kick freaking butt in biz. Whether you choose the photo major, a complete course for photographers, or the content photo minor, a mini course on how to finally slay your content photos for your blog, Insta, headshots, whatever, you will walk away with more knowledge than you ever thought possible. And here's the reality. We are here to see you succeed. Always and forever. And that is why we created each and every one of these courses.
To check them out for yourself, read the reviews, and look at each course syllabus, go to theheartuniversity.com/courses. That's theheartuniversity.com/courses.
I love that.
I love that. Just entrepreneur spirit.
Yeah, just like seeing a need and being like, I could do that.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Okay. And then you have, I'm going to butcher the brand name. Is it Onyx?
Oh, you did so good.
Did I really?
You nailed it. Onyx.
Oh, Onyx. Yes.
Yep. So okay, tagline is powered by RDJ Rocks. So Onyx is really the level up kind of entertainment brand where we bring in, honestly, it's the net that casts extremely wide. So it doesn't discriminate across any gender because the focus is talent. As passionate as I am about creating a platform for women to be able to do what they love in music and to be able to financially provide for themselves, I also, like, I love music and I love this industry. And there are people at their core who still fit with our brand and our culture, right?
Like, yes.
If you've got a good spirit and you've got good core values and a good moral compass, and like you are talented as heck, Onyx mm-hmm. wants to be the brand that represents you because there is talent out there that doesn't want to touch a contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a whole different skill set. So we manage already established talent. And then it also is a pool for like DJs at RDJ Rocks who we've trained from the ground up to have a place to go when they've outgrown RDJ Rocks.
Wait, so just so I'm understanding, so it's a talent management company for artists. Is other than DJs, what else is in that pool?
We're not going too huge with it yet. I mean, sky's the limit. I don't really know. Maybe tomorrow I'll wake up and it's like booming. But it's right now it's small things. So like if someone wants to add on a saxophonist or like a drummer or whatever, like it also can fuse. So
it's still, it's like entertainers or artists for events still, like that niche.
Yeah. I mean, listen, unless Kristen Lee Music takes off, then Onyx will be my audio company, AV company that I travel around the world in.
That's amazing.
I love it so much.
Oh, okay. I love that you like found your passion kind of in the niche of obviously entertaining and music and all of that. And then you kind of like had that entrepreneurial spirit of just figuring out, hey, how can I, you know, service this? How can I do this? How can I like use the skills and talents that God's given me and that I love to like just blossom in this industry? I love that. I had a question earlier and I literally, it's slipping away just like a fine wisp of the
wind. Do you want to think? Because I have a question.
Oh, yeah. I'll think while you ask.
Kristen, you talked a little bit about your PTSD from COVID and running an event company in COVID. And what Lindsay and I have had some conversations on the podcast recently and then just together as friends, we have seen some impact in the event industry post-COVID. Burnout, trauma, whatever you want to call it, of people just, it was a hard season for the event industry. And I know you touched on that. Are you willing to kind of share, like, how did you work through that? Because it sounds like you were still popping with events during COVID, which I cannot even imagine the chaos stress that season was. And I feel like so many of our listeners, whether they're a DJ or not or whatnot, are going to relate to a conversation around working through a really tough season of business. And then maybe a little bit more specifically, like fighting through staying creatively inspired and like passionate about what you do post COVID. So are you willing to kind of touch on that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean,
I know that's a can of worms.
Yeah, no, I'm totally open and I'm totally in because I think there's so many valuable lessons. So let's kind of break that question down and maybe start with, maybe let me just share a little bit of scope so people have an idea of the scale. And maybe there are people listening who that they're five times more things that they had to deal with than I did. But for me and for my heart, it was extremely traumatic. Like, I just remember someone like, oh, it's this pandemic COVID. And I'm like, whatever. I do not pay attention to news. I don't. Yeah. And so typically by the time I get my news, it's from friends and it's like, oh, okay, this thing might be serious. And so it's like, I asked the question like, okay, how serious? Like, 'cause this shut down our business. And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, right. 'Cause I also live in Florida where there's hurricanes. And so like, you know, I know you guys just moved down here, but like, I mean, people look at the giant thing on the news and they're like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like, bro, it's just a little bit of, you know, like
a little bit of destruction. It's not a big deal.
A little bit of wind.
Just a little bit of extra wind. Like, listen, I don't even have the sandbags out yet, so we're fine. I distinctly remember waiting for them to announce something on the news. I don't even remember what it was because that honestly was a blur. And I remember them saying there's going to be a shutdown. And I was like, okay, so it's serious. Because I also am a part of like a few different associations and membership groups. And so there was talk in there and they were already preparing. You know, I knew people who owned businesses, entertainment and restaurant businesses in New York. And so I, whatever they were going through, I knew it may or may not come to Florida next. And so, man, you guys, I literally have chills over my whole body. 'Cause I was like, I literally heard that. I went back to my desk. I sent an IM to my team and I said, guys, I need you to brace for impact. Oh my God, I'm going to cry because I feel that moment. And all of a sudden, like the phones started ringing. And I swear to you, within probably 3 hours, I watched 400 events disappear off the calendar and $500,000 of revenue get deleted.
Oh my gosh.
And to give you, I can't believe I'm getting emotional, but you know, I was like, oh my God, my whole life's work is gone and payroll is $25,000 a month. How am I going to do this?
Yeah.
Whoa, I can't believe I'm crying. So the emotional impact on so many levels of what one newscast did and the aftermath after that. And that was only one explanation of one moment in time. That doesn't even explain the next 12 months that followed that. So I am still working through some of that. And like, you know, let's not forget that like, you know, a few months into that, there also was a social pandemic.
Yeah.
And I have an extremely diverse team. So watching the emotions of what was happening with the Black Lives Matter movement on top of COVID and trying to balance, you know, emotions and humanity and like, honestly, my faith that wasn't fully born yet and trying to, you know, be like, Jesus, take the wheel truly and honestly. And how do I lead with grace? How do I do this with the fruits of the spirit when I literally just want to cuss somebody out? I'm only one human. So I'll leave it at that. And then we can take it where it went. But like, it was a lot. And so if you're listening and if you were there during that time, or if you were on the other side of that, where you had a leader who was struggling, you know, thank you is all I have to say. And you're not alone.
Thank you for sharing just a real depiction of what so many people, whether they're DJs or a lot of people were in the event industry or even an industry that where people gather. I guess that is an event technically, but like just COVID especially impacted everybody, but especially the industries where, you know, you make a livelihood off of people gathering. And so thank you for sharing that, because I think you just like validated a lot of like people and how they were probably feeling too in those with both social pandemic and just the general pandemic. It was a rough year and couple of years. So thank you for sharing that. I wanted to pivot a little bit and ask, and this might still kind of come up with the conversation of COVID or just like how you handled marketing in 2020 or like navigating that. But I want to talk a little bit about marketing and sales here.
And I love this. Okay.
Like how you go about, sorry, we're going from tears to like, I'm like, okay, business strategy.
See, it's left brain, right brain. I'm here for it. Let's go.
She goes flipping and go.
I want to know from, just because I've never had to have this conversation with a DJ or even somebody else kind of that comes at an event from a different perspective than like a wedding photographer, or even like a wedding planner or a florist. Like, I feel like we coach and just like talk to a lot of like wedding industry people, but not DJs. And so I want to know, what is your strategy for getting people to hire you?
That's such a broad question.
Sorry,
that's a landmine. All right, Kristen, I trust you can take it.
I got this. So here's how I do want to answer this question. I think that first and foremost, there are solopreneurs, and then there are people who are wanting to scale their business. And so if I can just like speak a little bit, I feel like if we're solo, it is a lot easier to just put ourselves out there just as a human being. And if you like me, you're going to book me. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd rather go one step further and say, how do we as business owners say, okay, I've got this one person or these three people, but wow, okay, they aren't as easy to book as me. And so my kind of strategy has been two things. One, you have to start establishing your brand. And like, why do people want to trust your brand and your company above, you know, the next website on thenot.com, right? And so those are things like core values and your mission statement and why you exist and your purpose and all of those things. You also have to have a track record, like reviews. It was one of the first things that I did. When I had one and two DJs, I was like, hey, if you had a great time, when you write the review, please make sure you mention her specific name, because those reviews helped me validate to the next person that like, yes, you can trust me and my processes. And here's why RDJ Rocks is great. And you know, you've got me and you've got an established brand, but now you can establish this talent within the brand. And I had to build them up just like I built me up. So it's almost like, for photographers listening, you've got to build yourself up, right? And people have to trust you. You've got to do that with every single new talent that you bring onto your team and then making sure that you put their faces out there.
Yep. I have a clarifying question for you, Kristen. Did you start your DJ business under like your name? Like, did you start with a personal brand and then you had to pivot into like RDJ Rocks, which is just more like a brand identity, not like a personal brand? Or did you start with a brand identity? Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I started as like djkristen.blogspot.com or something.
Didn't we all? Blogspot or what was the other one? Oh my gosh, I can't think of the name. There was another one that we were all like
Weebly,
something like that.
I don't know.
I don't remember. We were all Wiz? There. Or dot word word. Yeah, Wiz. It was yes. A W.
We're shots fired here. We're heating it up.
I love it.
Did you have a question, or do you want me
to? Everyone listening is triggered.
I love it. No, I think it was knowing, because I think that's a hard pivot to make mm-hmm. is when you've built a personal brand. Because Lindsay and I obviously do a lot of coaching, and I think that's a big conversation that we have with a lot of our students, a lot of our course students, is a lot of people build a personal brand. And you're right. It is, I don't know if I would say it's like easier. I just feel like it's maybe
well,
it's
you're
a little
selling
easier.
Yourself
like a
personal and your personality, brand. And especially for something like DJing, which that affects it a ton. Mm-hmm. I can see how it could be difficult to scale. It makes me realize, like, when you're talking about a service-based business where you're exchanging your time for money, the only way to really scale your business is either passive income with, like, a product, like a digital product, or a team. Mm-hmm. And so it's like you kind of have to face this issue if you are a personal brand mm-hmm. and you're wanting to go the team route and, like, yeah. have multiple people booking the same event, or not the same event, the same date. I guess... Did you have thought? I have a question, but I wanted to give you a space to react to this.
One of my business coaches most recently asked me the question when he asked me, Kristen, how do you want to grow in 2024? I said, wow, you are really, really, really pulling open some layers here for me to think about. And I had to pull back kind of the bow and arrow before I like take a leap. And I have kind of thought to myself, there are three different ways I can grow: inward, outward. And I don't know, there's a third one. I have it written down somewhere. But I also think that him asking me that question, and then I asked a question back, he said, here's the thing. He's like, you can look at your business and you can say, I'm creating this to create a lifestyle for myself, and then make decisions mm-hmm. based on that, or I'm creating this to be able to grow it to possibly sell it one day. So I still have no idea what I want to do, but I will say that for anyone listening, if you are not interested in the minutiae of contracts and heavy business conversations, and you know, during COVID, I had two attorneys on retainer. If business is very hard, and it's hard on your heart. It really yes. is. And so if those aren't the things that you love doing, it's okay to not grow in a sense of having 20 team members and 800 events a year. You just have to be more strategic with your money. And one of the things, even for me, is I'm like, ooh, okay, I need to make some different decisions after COVID, because I'm like, all my eggs were in that basket. So if I would have lost that, I would have lost it all. I'm not even going to lie. So one of the things that I did was I started to look into real estate, which I've always had like a curiosity about. And so mm-hmm. I was like, okay, let me start taking some of my profits from like me and like just like putting it over here in this rental and like putting it over here in this rental. And mm-hmm. then like, you know, even if I don't make a ton of money off of like rent in like 20 years from now.
Yeah.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Duh.
You know, which is so smart to just realize the egg basket and start diversifying. You know, especially 2020 is a great example of like, that's obviously, I hope rare that this, something like
hopefully
a worldwide
once in a lifetime for sure
will happen.
Yeah, guys, that's not happening for another 150 years. It's fine. It's fine.
All right, good. We're going to claim that. But whether it's a worldwide pandemic or whether it's something else, like things can hit the fan all the time, mm-hmm. especially in the entrepreneur space. Like you don't have control over a certain element of life. And I think it's just so smart to diversify your eggs in your basket. What?
Just the way you said it was funny. Diversify your eggs in your basket. But the point stands.
Yes,
and we're going to let Kristen keep speaking fire.
I have a question that I don't know. This is off the walls. I'm going rogue here. How do you, as an event vendor, that is something that, and I'm coming at this from the way that I've seen a lot of photographers specifically market, because with photography, your angle is like, oh, this is one of the only things on a wedding day or an event that lasts beyond the day. And so like, it's almost you're marketing from a place of like, look how important this is. Look at the legacy. My question for you, do you find that your clients that you're marketing to, Are you just convincing them to hire you? Like, they've already made up their mind that they want a DJ, or do you ever deal with having to market to a bride to convince them to even have a DJ? Does that make sense?
Ooh, this question is fire. Okay. And I can actually add one more thing, because I think that there are clients who need to be convinced that they need a DJ. Mm-hmm. There was a season of that. I think that there are clients that we have to convince that, like, we're the right fit and we go up against competitors. Right. And then there are clients who are like, oh no, I'm having Kristen, like, I'll change my wedding date. It doesn't matter. Or like, it doesn't matter what package price you send at me, I'm booking you, which is a little like, I'm like, wait, really? Okay. So I think that there are kind of three different, I've been through every single one of those. And the only one that I don't experience nowadays is the, I need to convince you to have a DJ.
That's, you've grown your business so that you're probably not marketing to the people that don't value you, which is kind of where the question is.
She said no.
Wait, no what?
No, I agree.
Oh, okay. I was like, she said no, this is tea.
But I think depending on where you're at in business, it doesn't always correlate that when you first start your business, you're dealing with people that don't value you, but kind of. Because, you know, you're trying to get into the industry and
you're usually starting at a lower price bracket, especially in the wedding industry, with people who are on a tighter budget, who are trying to save a bit more money in every possible way. Right. And I will say from like my experiences growing up in the industry and from my own wedding, DJs, I think, are not always top of the list. Right. Especially for more budget weddings.
So that's why my question is, like, when you're getting started in this, if whether we're speaking to DJs listening or even somebody else that's in a niche industry that the world might consider worldwide, like, oh, that's not necessary. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because we're definitely not a necessity. We learned that in 2020, didn't we? we're not essential. Yes. Okay, so let's kind of dig in and, like, slice this thing up a little bit. So first and foremost, let me just say that there, like, my very, very, very first couple, I just saw her on my Facebook feed actually this morning, which, like, warmed my heart. They were, like, on vacation. I remember getting my first lead through my little blog spot. Maybe I think it was a referral. Because business is going to start through referrals first. Mm-hmm. And you just got to pay the bills. You got to pay the bills and you got to put food on the table. And that means that, like, you're not going to be able to come out the gates blazing with, like, you know, thousands of dollars of packages, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so you do have to start on the lower end in order to fill your calendar. And I think the strategy needs to be, with every single event that you do, you take it as if you're marketing. You're putting yourself in front of 100 people. They're going to refer you. So you've got, it's like you're auditioning every time you go out the door, period. And I remember from that consultation and every single one after that, I feel like I raised my prices $50 every time. Just because I was like, okay, well, that was too easy. And when it was too easy, I was like, okay, let me raise my price, because they obviously valued me before more than I did. And so for probably the first 6 months with every consultation, I raised my price $50. And then I went ham on asking for reviews. And, like, I tried to get to know every photographer that, like, Amanda, do you guys need a water? Because, like, later I was going to be like, can I have images from this? Because I have no marketing. Like,
yeah.
And so that's kind of how it started. And then I think that, you know, the latter half of RDJ Rocks and, you know, where I've been in my career now is, it's a pricing game. Mm-hmm. I've noticed that depending on what I charge, it brings in a certain client. But that certain client has certain expectations of, like, how you dress, how your setup looks, and, like, all of those things. And so I think that once you move past that, then it's the pricing game, and it's obviously where you place yourself. Like, I'll tell you, to answer your question of do I have to convince people to even book a DJ? I know that this works for a lot of people. It doesn't work for half of my team on the RDJ Rocks team by, like, if we get tagged in a Facebook post, I'm going to like it, but I'm not commenting and I'm not messaging, because if I do, it ends up being like, well, we're on a tight budget, and, like, it ends up being the busiest Saturday of the year, and it just ends up in disappointment. And so for us, like, I've learned that those things don't necessarily work. But if I were starting out all over again, I would probably be all over those Facebook boards.
Yeah. Yeah.
which yeah. that I just want to highlight what you just said, because that's a really good tactic, especially if you are just starting in a service-based industry. Yeah. So basically what she's saying is like, if you get a client and they're posting about you or whatever, or even in, I could say like in Facebook groups, if people are like, hey, is there a DJ? You'd be like, yeah. slide on in there, or, you know, what for whatever service you're doing. But I think that is, it is a great tool when you're first getting started to kind of like get the word out. And it's, but by doing that, because people aren't seeking you out mm-hmm. by you just responding on a comment, like you just said, like they're not necessarily, they're probably the low hanging fruit of quality clients. Like they don't necessarily value you. Mm-hmm.
And here's a good visual to think about if, you know, you're going the route and maybe you're just starting out, or maybe if you're like, huh, I wonder if I should go on Facebook boards. Think about it this way. If someone's like, hey, I'm looking for a photographer. And then all of a sudden there's 30 comments of mm-hmm. people tagging photographers' pages. Think of it as if you're going to the, as if you're walking around the mall. Now you've got 30 stores that you're window shopping at. What yeah. decisions do you make to either walk in or not walk in that store? And then I'm just going to leave it at that.
That's such a good, that's now, such a good mental exercise.
Now that you've built your business, what are ways that, so what are ways that you convince people to choose you over somebody else
in the pricing game? Ooh, you know what? It has to be, man, there's a marketing term for this, and shame on me because I have a marketing degree, but social proof. Boom, social yes. proof. Didn't take me down. It's social proof. Like, mm-hmm. there are still times where I have to convince people, obviously, but when I started putting more social proof online, and that's like taking the reviews and putting them on social media and making sure that like the Instagram page is like, okay, that's the next place they're going to go to be like, is this girl even legit? I still do that when I have to hire service people. I'm like, let me go check Stanley Steamer's reviews. And like, what does their Instagram look like? Do they have like, you know, a cute vacuum reel that I can watch of like the five tips to keep your like carpet clean or something? But I look at those things. And so,
yeah.
That is, it's almost like you are overcoming the obstacle before they even get on the phone with you.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's so true. I feel like that's also when you're at the place where people are coming to you, they already kind of know that they are most likely at that point, like somewhat interested in working with you. And I feel like at that point, you just have to have like that factual backup for their already like half-made decision. You're just trying to firm up what they already are kind of feeling like they want. And that social proof is going to be that final like nail in the coffin. That's such an aggressive analogy to use there, the nail in the coffin for someone booking you. But you know what I mean? The final like, yeah. the final piece, the cherry on top, that's a better one to use there.
Yeah.
That now, like gets them in the door.
What I will say though, is that it's very different, you know, if someone coming to your website versus like meeting someone at a wedding showcase. Mm-hmm. I mean, there you're really convincing them because they haven't seen your website yet. All they see yep. is this is the website. So I'm like, mm-hmm. I got to like make sure my hair is cute. And like, they're totally going to, they totally judge me on things like shoes. So that's when I was like, okay, I need to make sure that like my sneakers or whatever's on my feet is always on fuego. So like,
well, you nailed that.
Literally years ago, I was like, okay, we're going to like be as fun as we can on the feet because I have to be professional from the waist up. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I can do whatever I want, like behind the DJ booth. And then when I walk out, so like it's little tiny thing. People pay attention to that. I'm telling you,
they
pay attention to it. So there have been times where like back in the day, do you remember the brand Toms? I mean, they're still around. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
They made pink sparkly Toms. I mm-hmm. swear to you, there are still 8 pairs of those at my warehouse because I would run through them every 3 months because the soles were this big. And people were like, oh she's wow. the girl who wears pink sparkly Toms.
That's amazing. That's crazy. So, that goes to show you people look at the details. They look at the full brand image. Yeah.
Yes. They really do. Like, so if people, bro, everybody listening, y'all need to go do an audit everywhere because they are window shopping you and they are judging you uh-huh. hard. If your display window isn't like cute, you're out, bro.
I love this so much.
I don't actually know this. Do you do destination like DJing, or was that like a one-off for us? Is this a norm for you?
Are we special? I'm just kidding.
No, actually, well, first of all, you guys are very special because I was like, one, Nashville, two, your Heart and Hustle, yes, and the Heart Conference, yes. So like I totally aligned with your purpose and mm-hmm. your audience. So I was like, oh, I am here for this. But yeah, I mean, I don't travel every single week for DJing. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to the point now where I do probably 20 to 30 paid events a year. And outside of that, my time is spent running the company and so on and so forth. But I really try to align any of my travel with like my purpose and make sure that like the audience is right and like whatever, because I know it'll be that much more magic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess the reason I asked that is because before we hired you, I would have never thought of a DJ as something that I would have like, fly out for, but I want to like share, I want you to do to share that. So that way you can just like help unlock people's brains if they are in an industry that they assume that people won't value that enough to fly, like that you are the hot commodity that they are willing to fly. And I think you are just perfect proof that like you can.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to shout out my dad that I just lost him on this earth back in May, but, before he was gone, I recorded a podcast episode with him. Oh my God. It was probably one of my favorite episodes. And there was a point in the podcast where he talked about like the 10 steps of life. And he said, I don't know, it's level 6 or 7 or whatever. And he was like, dude, attitude is everything. And if you don't mm-hmm. have attitude, you ain't going nowhere. And so honestly, so like, it's attitude, it's energy. It's like, no one's going to fly like a mean person somewhere. Like you gotta have good energy to be around. And I think that if you feel like, I didn't know I can do that. You gotta step outside your comfort zone. And sometimes that means just changing like your core circle of people to expand mm-hmm. your mind and think differently and think outside of what you're used to thinking within.
That's so good. It's asking questions. It's staying curious. I feel like we're circling back. It's staying curious and asking questions. What is possible? And asking your group of people.
And then when people do that and take a chance on you, mm-hmm. you show the frick up.
Yeah. Which you freaking did for us yes. in Nashville. You came and we were like, oh, it's going to be like a, you know, good DJ. She'll be sweet, you know, whatever. You slayed.
Slayed like, outfit, so hard.
The full screen with our logo that was like flashing and vibes that we were not expecting. Like the
party slayed so hard when your time ended and like the music stopped, people did not want to leave.
Everyone was still like just lingering on the dance floor, like wanting to stay because it was such a vibe. It was so good.
I honestly was like, you know how like you do events and like whatever, you're like, oh my God, okay, so they do this next year. I really hope they call me. Like, I know you two even think of that as a photographer. That was literally, I'm like, oh my God, I hope I slayed, I hope they call me again. And then when I got the email, I was like, yes!
You slayed,
girl.
And then
we made the biggest faux pas ever, which was not telling you the theme. And you thankfully figured out the theme for this because we didn't have a theme for the first conference. Yeah. We had a theme for the dance party for the second one. And it was disco cowgirl or cowboy.
And you showed up
with the disco. It was like a bedazzled corset with like disco ball earrings. Iconic.
That is the level of dedication that you have. Oh my gosh.
But that goes to show of like, work hard, be smart, be curious, mm-hmm. and then show up and like blow their socks off.
I also just want to encourage you, Kristen. I can't tell you the number of our like community members, like our conference attendees who asked us, is it going to be the same DJ this year? She was so incredible. Like so many of our people, not just Lindsay and I.
Like returning
conference attendees who were like, who's the DJ? Is it Kristen? Like everyone loved you. Like everyone loved you. So you are so good at what you do.
Man, it was so good. And I even loved, like, it was so cool because when I got off, you know, the stage area that we had set up on the second conference, people remembered me. And like, mm-hmm. of course we talked about music and like whatever, but they were like, okay, so like, how did you do this? And like, can we talk about onboarding? And right now I'm struggling with this. So like,
I love it.
I know. So like, it was so cool because it was so immersive for me and it filled so many of my cups. And so, yeah.
That's amazing. Well, at this point in time, there's no plans for future conferences, but I can tell you right now, because we're going to slow down so that our business aligns with our lifestyle we're wanting, like you referencing what you talked about earlier. But if and when we ever do another conference down the road, you are hands down. I don't care if you're retired, Kristen. I don't care if you're like feet kicked up, like on a beach somewhere, just living your best life, sipping a pina colada. You are coming. You are coming to our next conference. We love you that much.
I love it.
You are amazing. This conversation, I feel like we could talk to you for hours about so many things. You are like, what's it called? There's a bottomless well. There's so much to you and so much goodness and wisdom and everything in you. I feel like we could talk to you. We need to just have you back on with more topics, going deep into different things, hiring, like systems, you know, all of this stuff.
I literally had a whole list of things to throw out there. So yes, I'm here now and I'd love to come back.
You're like a bottomless well. Yes, I have a list. There's more. Oh my gosh. But we have loved this part one of the Kristen conversation that will, I'm sure, continue. But for everyone who's kind of sitting here, it is like, you just have so much to offer. And I want to hear one final thing from you. This is part of our kind of like rapid fire questions that we send off at the end of every podcast episode. What is one of the biggest lessons that you've learned in business?
Okay, this is That's such a good question because there's so many, but I think that if I were to wrap it up in a really pretty bow, I want it to be very inspirational. And I think that what I would say, because obviously in business, we have to focus on revenue. That's the goal of a business, make money and like have fun, right? So I would say that it's never going to hurt revenue to lead and make decisions with grace included.
That is so good.
I just need to marinate on that. Like, that's just a one sentence, but there is so much wisdom in that sentence.
That's like a power punch. Like, the more you think about it, the more it like hits you. I love that.
That would be probably, what am I on? I'm on year like 12. I think if I had to sum up 12 years, that's what I would say.
That is so good.
That's brilliant.
Next rapid fire question.
I know. I'm like sitting here like, wow, okay. I just have to like really marinate like a steak.
That's like a write that on your mirror to look at it every day type of quote.
Well, the second, this is a very awful rapid fire delivery that we're giving you here. But
as we slowly marinate.
Let's just not call it rapid fire. It's just the ending questions.
The final three.
We selfishly love reading and we love to ask because we get to talk with incredible people like yourself on this podcast all the time.
And I know you said you're always hungry for learning and knowing new things. So you might have good answers.
Yeah. So we always love to ask our guests, is there a favorite book that you've read recently?
Ooh. Okay. Actually, this was gifted to me. I did a little intimate dinner with some of my favorite wedding vendors earlier in the year. I did like a table of 12. We did like an 8-course meal, probably. I don't know. It was so decadent. And so one of the gift, they mailed me a book afterwards, and it had to have been called Maybe All That Is Made, A Guide to Faith and Creative Life by, I don't know if you follow Alabaster on Instagram, but I love that book.
Are those the Alabaster Co?
Those are the coffee table books?
The Vibey Bibles, basically.
Okay, I'm not kidding. I literally wrote that on our fridge. We have like a Christmas list. And I wrote it like subtly so that I could be like, Andrew.
Bro, they were 50% off for like a hot minute. They may have sold out.
I almost wrote that on the list, like
big sale,
50% off now.
Yes. But my problem is I can't decide if I want every book out of the Bible or if I just want like my favorite ones. Like,
right. Yeah.
Do I just want the inspirational ones or do I want all of them? And that's why I haven't bought it for myself because I don't know which ones I want.
Well, I have Psalms and Proverbs on my coffee table and they're really pretty.
Okay.
See, I at least want them, but I'm like, I don't just want to buy those two. I need to buy a package.
Just start somewhere.
There's like a wisdom package. Wait, was this the book? No, this wasn't the book, right?
Then we got very off track. You were saying,
What I was saying was there's a section on their site and there is a book and I believe it is called All That Is Made and it is a guide to faith and creative life.
Got it. That's cool. Awesome. Okay.
So you need that one for sure. Okay. You know, the other one I feel like I'm literally in the middle of reading. So it's like fresh to my mind is Sacred Rest by Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. Yeah. I really love that one.
We've had her on the podcast. She is amazing.
So good.
to go listen to her episode.
It's episode 77.
How do you know that?
It's because I was transferring our episodes to a hard drive literally yesterday. So I'm just intimately aware of all of our numbers.
So good.
Bro, episode 77, that's an angel number. I'm here for it. Going to go listen to it today. There we go. And I mean, I could give a laundry list of books, you know, professionally, like if mm-hmm. someone wants to scale and they haven't even touched the surface of that, you have to read Traction.
Amen. Yep.
If you, a really good book, I forget who it's by, but No Man's Land. It's called No Man's Land. It's got a blue cover. That one was life-changing in business for me. Those are probably two
She's
of my...
She's just rapid firing. I love this so much.
I wish I was sitting at my warehouse office because here's what I do. I keep the books that like changed my life in business on my desk there.
Yes, and then I love
here,
that.
I have like the ones that I want to read like over there. Actually, no, yeah. I already finished the Britney Spears one. And then downstairs,
how
I
was
have
that?
The ones that I'm, man. Well, first of all, I got it on a Friday night. The next day I had to DJ, but luckily I was only a Halloween party from like 7 to 10. So I didn't need to be there at like noon for setup. I set my alarm to wake up early and I was like, I'll just read like, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. Guys, I had the book like this while I'm eating breakfast, while I'm walking around the house. I finished the whole book before I went and DJ that event.
Wow.
Okay. That's high praise.
It was juicy. It was all the tea. It was every answer that I've been wondering in her life for the past 12 years. You know what I mean? I'm just like, mate, yeah. Is her dad really that way? Because I'm over here like, there is no way. And then I'm like, oh my God, way.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Was she not allowed to speak on it?
Wait, you're until, getting so sorry, off topic.
I just love like, it. I'll this just is... read it. I'll read it. Okay.
Okay, then we'll discuss.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we'll discuss.
Awesome. Okay, yeah. Kristen. Where can everyone find you, hire you, or find out just more about how to work with you in any capacity, or just follow you because you're an awesome individual, or yeah. listen to your music, all the things, because you've been incredible and we wanted to shout you from the rooftops.
Thanks, guys. So the best place to find me is on Instagram. From there, you can get anywhere, whether it's, you know, Creeping on the DJ Company hiring us, Photo Booth Rocks. You can get to my music page from there. And that's at Meet Kristen. Meet me ass at KRISTIN. So Meet Kristen on Instagram.
Perfect. I love it. Girl, you are amazing. We love you so much. And we will chat with you on the next episode.